Where do you go for comics new and old? Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars? And where do you go to see the best in cosplay? Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDARE at checkout to get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix? Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Hi, this is Christopher Daniel Barnes, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and you're listening to the Canned Air Podcast.
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today from AI Comics and from Stormforce, the comic that's available on AI Comics. Can't wait to talk about this. We have Bernard Henry with us. Bernard, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Man, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, and I'm very excited to chop it up with you and the crew today.
It's going to be fun, man. I'm excited, too. I mean, we got good vibes in the room, good vibe around the table here. I'm excited. And we're going to kick off this episode today talking about just Marvel Comics in general, being that this month represents the 80th anniversary of the comic titan. Can you believe that?
Came out of nowhere.
Man, talk about come out of nowhere. Literally, I had no idea. So that is figuratively and literally for me, like out of nowhere. So that's just pretty cool thing to find out. And I'm excited to talk about that. Got Team Marvel all day. Nothing against DC, of course.
Sure.
I think we talked about the 75th anniversary back 5 years ago.
I think
when
you're right.
We first started doing the podcast around.
But
that.
You know, these are things we never like see like, oh, it's 2 years away. We got to get ready. We see it and like, oh shit, that's next month.
Yeah. You
know, so same case here. But it'll be cool to witness. I hope I'm around to witness Marvel's 100th anniversary.
Mm. That'd be pretty dope.
And if we're still doing this, I'll be swinging in a closet or something. We can't have that.
Marvel's 100.
No way. 20 years of canned air. No freaking way.
Hilarious.
Then after that, we're going to turn our attention over to Bernard and talk more about AI Comics and Storm Force. But before we do all of that, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. If you're enjoying what we're doing here on the show and you're not getting enough from the free catalog, well, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod, or you can just go to our website and follow the link. To become a patron, for $5 a month, you get access to the Patreon pod, which releases once a month. And gives the patrons creative control. So if you don't maybe like what we're talking about, like, man, I wish they'd talk about this, for $5 a month, you can make that happen.
I'm paying for this. I want to hear what I want to hear.
Right? Makes sense.
Hey, there's going to be some good stuff on there.
There is.
It's money, and I want it then.
Right. So patreon.com/CannedAirPod. Become a patron. And if you're going to a Wizard World Con here in the near future, at checkout, use promo code CANDARE and get a cool 10% off your ticket purchase.
They're coming around to Chicago August 22nd through the 25th.
That's one we need to get on to.
Yep.
That's big for us. Yes. money. Anything else, guys?
Whatever you're listening to us on, whether it be Apple Podcast, whatever, just leave us a like, let us know how we're doing, give us a shout out, and we'll read it online.
There you have it. And it helps us out more than you could possibly realize. And one more quick reminder, do not forget, I think this will be, we'll have time for this. The last time we can shout this out, Squidbillies Season 12, August 11th at midnight on Adult Swim. Yeah, they sent us that vinyl. If you get on our Instagram or Facebook, you can check out I put a little clip of the video, the vinyl playing. Shotgun Shell Red. It was awesome.
It is
totally awesome. So big thanks to them again for that. And again, August 11th at midnight, Squidbillies Season 12. Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Good night, everybody. All right, guys, Marvel Comics, the 80th anniversary. Where do we start? Randy, you look kind of prepared.
Well, yeah.
That's one thing we are not.
So, yeah, Marvel, basically, when they started out, they weren't really that unique. They kind of copied over and just kind of went with whatever was the trend at the time.
You're talking like the Timely Comics
correct.
Era?
Okay. Yes, yeah. But once Stan Lee came around, they did kind of start branching out on their own and developed something called the Marvel Method, which at the time, the way the comics were written, they wrote the entire storyboard out, gave it to a graphic artist, they wrote it out, and then that was that. But basically, to save time, Stan Lee was able to go in and he gave the artists like a quick general overview, let them draw it out, and then he would go back in and write the thought bubbles into it.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
That's crazy. Wow.
I can't get over the penmanship they have for the writing in those thought bubbles back then. Because I mean, it's just a bunch of scribbles if I ever did it.
Yeah, it is incredible. Yeah, because my friends and I, all through elementary school and even into junior high, unfortunately, were drawing just these really rudimentary comics. I mean, they were quite literally like lined notebook paper that we just rip out, two lines down the middle, two lines on the just side, kind of like panel. A big, yeah, and just draw with our nose. And they were crude, but boy, we drew a ton of them. We had close to 200 of them. Like, we drew a lot of them.
That's crazy.
And infringed on several copyrights in the process.
And to think that comics gave us the best font ever.
Oh, Comic Sans.
A lot of
Sans,
people hate. Yeah. I love that font for some reason. Maybe it's because it's just from reading comics.
It's the mark of unprofessionalism.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not like straight lines.
Hey, I like it too. It's just the wrap it has. That's all I can say. What about you, Bernard? What do you think of when you think Marvel Comics?
Well, you know, in lieu of, you know, the 80th anniversary, I guess you're kind of forced to go down a little bit of history, and I don't know Marvel history the way y'all might know it, because I just learned something as far as that fact that was stated earlier. But what I do remember is being a child and suffering from chronic asthma. How it was very hard for me to sleep at night. And I was always in the hospitals or whatever, right? So, like, my dad would, you know, bring me Marvel Comics and eventually started adding to the collection, because I was reading these comics probably within a day. Like, it was just that interesting to me and that engaging. And it was something to take my mind off of that discomfort at that, you know, that moment or whatever, whenever I was going through anything asthma related. So for me, when I say like I'm Team Marvel, it's like deeply rooted in childhood memories. And so, like I said, it's pretty dope to be discussing this topic right now.
That's awesome.
It's awesome to have an origin like that too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really cool. I guess because it started with the comics. You know, looking back, I guess I was already buying comics at the time, but it was the Spider-Man cartoon that got me into Marvel comics. You know, that and the X-Men. Yeah. And that's a lot, like we've talked about on the show, the entry point for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm kind of jealous that that's your entry point.
Yeah, Spider-Man's like the OG in Marvel. You know, he's just like, everybody would know, even if you don't even know Marvel or just comics in general, you at least know that name. And that's how iconic he is as far as being just one of those trailblazers within, you know, the many characters that was coming, you know, after that or whatever.
You know, it's funny, when I was young, and it would have been 89, because I think this was around the time Keaton's Batman came out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was aware of Batman. I knew Batman from 66. It was on a syndication all the time, and it was on after school, like with cartoons and stuff. So that was the Batman I knew. And when the new one came out, I was kind of aware of him. I think my mom's a little protective, not wanting us to see that at that age, because I was pretty young. But I remember around that same time seeing Spider-Man and not having a clue about him. And I still remember like the my impression of him without knowing anything about him and how he looked just so dark and menacing, like
Spider-Man did
out of context. Yeah. Cause I had no idea what he was. I just knew he was a Spider-Man. And all I ever saw was him like above New York City hanging in all these tangled webs, you know, with these big gnarly eyes.
It
would have been, I think, Romita, Jr. drawings I was seeing.
Well, I was going to say,
so like, you remember McFarlane, how he was
maybe,
that too, yeah. Either very comparable with detail. Yeah. So, you can see how I would kind of get that impression.
Mine would be like Spider-Man and his amazing friends, or like the old 70s cartoon. Okay. So.
You know what made me so mad about that cartoon was the fact that they put the webbing on his head and then it stopped at the neck. Like, then there was like
just solid red.
Then it was just an artist being lazy. Like, paint that shit.
Hilarious. That's a lot of ink.
I suppose it is, but.
Wasted color. Right. Well, you know, it was interesting. I just want to piggyback off of a couple of points. My first, I guess, Marvel character that I saw on air would be the Hulk. And I remember not knowing. I'm like, who is this big dude just messing up jeans? I'm like, goodness, he has the same pair of jeans on the same time, every time. And he's always ripped. So I'm just like, does he get new jeans? Does he sew them back together after it's all said and done? Like, what's going on here, you know? So, but it was like, I think it was Lou Ferrigno. Am I saying his name right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, my dad was, he pretty much put me on to him. And to piggyback off of the Batman comment that you made, man, my first interaction with Batman pretty much was seeing him dancing and just him doing the old 70s moves. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Batman had a little swag back then. So I was like, okay, I can rock with Batman. You know, he got a nice little sweet ride that he can hop in. And he does dance moves and he beats you up. I'm like, you can't beat that.
You know what's crazy about that Batman dance? And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. Is that was the very first episode that he was doing that Bat-Toosie.
Was that really?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, that's pretty fucking ballsy, man.
Yeah.
Like, not only are you, your first episode, you're throwing this dude out in a comic themed, like, blue leotard or whatever he's wearing.
Look at the time frame, though. That was the hip and the thing. That would probably sold a lot of people to keep watching it.
We were talking about that last week. Things that you get because you were there when they came out, but they didn't stand the test of time and would be lost on people.
Yeah.
That's probably what's happening.
Yep.
That's probably what's happening.
Well, that's more comedic now if you look back at it. Man, I get a nice kick out of that. That's just hilarious.
We just think, you know, we think of it comedic then as much as we think of it comedic now. So you think, why would they take such a risk and put some stupid shit like that as their pilot? But,
it's like watching Austin Powers. That was probably totally normal back then, all the stuff, his antics and stuff.
It's more like a history documentation than it is a comedy.
Look how stupid we were then.
It's funny about the Hulk. You know, it always changes where you read it or hear it. But I've heard that the Hulk was green originally because it was the cheapest ink. Because he required a lot of it, and that was the cheapest ink. So they went green. I heard it was
the opposite.
That's crazy.
What'd you hear?
He started out gray because gray was cheaper than doing
it. Well, here's the third thing I've heard. Okay. Was that they started with gray because that was technically the first Hulk, right?
Yeah.
Because he didn't want the Hulk to be like identifiable to any race. Like gray was a good safe color, but then found that actually coloring him gray over and over was proving problematic as far as an illustration goes. I don't know. I'm not an illustrator. What the hell do I know?
Yeah.
But then decided to go to green. But everywhere you go, it's a different story. Like, I've heard it on documentaries, on Amazon, on fucking internet here. It's always different. Always different.
The Great Hulk Mystery.
Wow.
I guess we'll never know.
I thought I was learnt on it. I guess not.
I don't know. I don't think we ever will be.
No.
We'll hear rumors.
It goes back 80 years. That stories can change so much, the goddamn telephone games.
And all points of reference have passed on.
Yeah, pretty much, so. Yep. Well, not pretty much, they have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Stan was the last, right?
Mm-hmm. Marvel always had more believable characters, I guess, even though their powers were...
Because they were rooted in reality.
Yeah, versus like you always say, DC's more of the Kmart superhero. They've got powers that you just have to accept what it is.
Okay.
But they don't really have any personal feelings. Like Superman, he was a kid in the country that grew up with powers. Barry Allen, the Flash, he had chemicals falling on him. But like Spider-Man, he got these powers, and then all of a sudden he's this kid with all these powers, and his uncle dies, and then mutants, they're, you know, hit with racism kind of basically all over the place. But yeah, they always had something relatable to them that was easier to grasp, I guess.
I'm so glad they recently put out, you mentioned Superman, and I'm so glad they recently put out Brightburn, though I haven't seen it yet.
I want to see it still, too.
It looks amazing.
It's something that's always, you're always curious about, and then it makes you realize, like, how fucking lucky the planet Earth really was, because this dude had I guess that was instilled from, you know, from Ma and Pa Kent, but had this dude landed anywhere else,
yep,
he'd have been a tool of most likely the government, right?
Right.
And without those ideals that Ma and Pa Kent put into this heart of gold, even if he was a good guy trying to do well and had just one bad day, that one bad day could be cataclysmic. I mean, think about the odds, the lottery odds of Superman being what he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-blowing. Does this make sense, what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's that nature versus nurture thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not only that, I mean, it's just, like, almost too perfect. You know, like, it's rounding around to saying, like, you're right. Marvel, I think, is much more rounded in reality, where you just have to really go out on a limb sometimes with these DC characters.
Like, yeah. Okay. I mean, there's kids that have grown up in the country that were dicks.
Yeah.
It might have had good parents.
Yeah. No. He could have found pigs sexually attractive.
There you go. Yeah.
No.
Dirty uncle that lives a country mile down the road.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it could have gone south in any which of ways, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Miraculous.
The only one, maybe there's more that, nothing coming to mind that had a bad history is, well, Batman, but then there wouldn't be Batman if it wasn't out without.
Yeah. I guess his is more believable just because it's so tragic. And I mean, there have been similar situations to this happen. So, yeah. You know,
yeah. So luckily he had millions of dollars that he could use.
Yeah.
Thank God. Or else I'd just been a guy with no parents.
So do y'all think that the more south the character is as far as relatability, the more alluring that character may be? You know, living in a day and age now, I feel like, man,
wow,
you can stretch the limitations of all that now, and people will love it because it's just like people are just so open-minded, especially artistically nowadays, and with the comic craze even more. What do y'all think about that?
I'm sorry, I'm reeling on something that was just said. Maybe this is going to relate to what you just said about the Batman. You mentioned Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Saying conveniently having money there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Marvel's take probably be like the Batman without money? Wouldn't that be much more interesting? It's the same kid, same tragedy, same drive, same motivations, but no fucking money.
Yeah, you'd have paperclips and
how does he see that all through?
Wasn't that Daredevil?
I was about to say that, but Daredevil had some paper because he was a lawyer, right? That's the only reason why I was literally about to say that too. Then I was thinking Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, but see, Luke Cage and even Daredevil are enhanced.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're enhanced beings.
Yeah, that's true.
I see what you're saying. Then that might be boring then.
I beg to differ. I beg to differ because with Bruce Wayne's motivation, nothing will come in his way. He will see his goal complete. So how does he do it without money? He would almost either, like you're saying, construct shit out of trash.
It was MacGyver, right? Like the Bat MacGyver.
Bat-Guyver, if you will.
The Bat-Guyver.
Or he'd have to probably dip into the underworld, you know, somehow acquire shit illegally to do it, become more of a, maybe a Punisher.
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of a character.
That's interesting. The Punisher actually might be the closest to like what you were just describing right there.
Batman with no money is the right. Punisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would hear. That's a
question answered. All right. First time on Candair.
Unless you went with a, depending on what storyline, that Batman ended up joining with the League of Shadows and getting trained by Ra's al Ghul. And
so, how would have he ever got that far? How would he, his reputation or his journey ever got him that far? He can't afford a fucking plane ticket.
Unless his drive somehow he just really pushed in school and got himself there.
We're giving you a scholarship to Ra's al Ghul's Legion of
League of Shadows.
Chucking Bruce Wayne.
League of Shadows, right. The first ever.
I don't see that connection happening without the moolah.
Maybe.
I don't see a lot of shit happening without the moolah. Really. I see it all ending like this first night or two without the moolah.
That's an ending.
It's like he doesn't have a grappling hook, but he's fashioned these coat hangers on this rope, and just the way, if he throws it just right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think he'll be dead night two.
Tragic, right? Just.
Randy, what do you got?
So it's really hard for me. When I think comics, I immediately think Stan Lee. It's kind of hard to separate Marvel and Stan Lee in my mind. I know you have Jack Kirby and some of the other really good artists, but Stan as a writer did so much to kind of promote and negate the negativity of comics as a medium.
Oh yeah.
You know, just going out there, and he did. I was watching a documentary on him last night in preparation for this. And just the amount of, entrepreneurial and just basically, for lack of a better term, just going out to a bunch of cons and promoting stuff,
mm-hmm.
just trying to get, you know, recognition for it as an art form.
Right. And, man, he was really one of the only, I'm sure there were others, but one of the really main only for years. Years. I remember it seems like since we started this show in 2013, we've seen the convention scene come a long way,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, from the first ones we went to compared to what we're seeing now.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. Because just in that time, it's exploded that big.
Right.
And I remember being in high school and hearing, like, Stan Lee's going to be, like, the county fair thing or, like a library book signing. I was just going to
say, yeah, library or something.
So much toned down. You know, I mean, he was definitely known. But it's more of like, you know, in these last 10 to 15 years, he was like worldwide famous, where right. before it was like in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king kind of thing. He's huge where he's recognized.
But look at Mallrats.
Okay.
That's the exact thing. He was at a mall in a bookstore. And they,
only
the nerds, quote unquote.
And that would have been about par, where nowadays, if he would have done that, it would have filled the mall up.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's crazy how much that evolution is taking chance. But it's all because of him. Bringing that up, he championed it all into what it was, into what it is. He truly is the father of it. You know, not only the characters, the comics, but of the fandom we know today.
Yeah, and I don't say that to make light or minimize anything else anybody's done. It's just, to me, you say comics and that's the first thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's all you know, that's why.
Yeah. Sorry.
Novice.
I'll go back in the closet, guys.
I'm thinking about the Marvel movies, and what's that duck character?
Howard the Duck?
Yeah, I think wasn't that like the first Marvel movie they put out, if I'm not mistaken? I feel like that
Captain America.
Like, what?
I think they did the trial of the Incredible Hulk or the Incredible Hulk couple movies, didn't they? Those might have been some earlies.
I don't know if it was labeled Marvel. I think.
Really? Okay, because...
But
it was definitely
the other ones. I mean, Howard the Duck, I think was, but the other ones I don't think really were.
I don't know.
It was just like, well, created by Marvel Comics or whatever.
I feel like that Captain America movie was probably the same kind of situation as the first Fantastic Four movie, but it made it just a little bit farther, you know? Actually got released. Because, I mean, how shitty. Like, just paint up a fucking motorcycle helmet and throw it on the guy. Who cares, you know?
Horrible.
Horrid. And wasn't the shield, like, clear plastic?
Red
like,
stripes, yeah.
Like, what?
Jeez.
Hilarious.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the motorcycle helmet. Right. Not even wearing a cowl. Jeez.
Yeah. Speaking of that Fantastic Four movie, I'm going to try to get some of the cast on the show. It's been about time. It's come up quite a bit, and I want to get Doom on the show. I want Dr. Doom on the show.
That'd be crazy.
He was an awesome Doom.
He's still the best Doom, yeah. in my opinion. Like, still the best Doom. Yep. Look at the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys are watching that on YouTube, right? Is that where it's available?
Okay. It's on YouTube.
I don't know. I had it downloaded probably 10, probably longer than that. I had it. I might have it somewhere on a CD. I doubt it, though. But yeah, I didn't see it off YouTube.
It's funny because you can easily like fall off the fence either way when watching it. Like, wow, how fucking crappy. You know, I can't believe this is 1992 because, you know, that's a year before Jurassic Park. Compare those special effects. But then when you hear the story, when you hear the budget they had, you're like, wow, they did that with this much money.
Not like PBS funding.
It's incredible. It truly is. And there's a documentary on Amazon. I find a lot of cool documentaries on Amazon.
Yeah.
But there is one on there about that movie that interviews the cast and the production team. And it's really a sad thing because these people put their heart and soul into it.
I'll have to check that out.
They did a good job, I think, for what they had.
Yeah, they did. And I still think maybe not. The last thing they did looked pretty cool. But looks aside, it was a crappy movie, right? Anyway.
I still dig the guy that played Thing in the other two movies. The Jessica Alba ones. I like Michael Chiklis, I think it is.
Yeah, he's
cool.
I dig
him as being Ben Grimm.
I hated like the look of him. Like, they painted him like the comic book orange color. Mm-hmm. Like, they were using orange because it was easier to paint rocks like that, right? I mean, that's not the real color of these rocks.
Hilarious.
I'm a stickler, I guess.
Who do you think will win in a fight? The Thing versus the Hulk?
Oh, the Hulk.
Yeah.
Why you say that? You don't think the Thing could give him a run for the money?
Maybe, but if you're talking who's going to win,
the
Hulk. Hulk's going to stomp that ass into the ground.
Because doesn't it get stronger the madder he gets?
The more pissed off he gets, the taller he gets, the more angry he gets. He heals like Wolverine. Dust. I mean,
yeah,
he's going to be gravel. He's going to be a pile of gravel.
If you can hurt him, because the stronger he gets, the tougher he gets. So bullets aren't going to, he's not really going to puncture him.
Have we ever seen Ben Grimm take extreme damage in the comics? Like, have we ever seen him break or crack or come apart in any?
That's a good question. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've never seen it.
I mean, he's all cracked already, but maybe some more.
I just wonder if he's, like, truly indestructible or if he can be broken or...
And Sandman comes over and picks him up, turns him into part of him.
So, essentially, the Hulk could just ragdoll the Thing around...
I would think so.
...for hours on hours until he tires out and
just... It'd be like going outside and getting a clump of dirt and just being like...
I don't know, but if he is indestructible, I don't know. I would think Hulk could pulverize him.
I would think so, too.
Yeah.
We have a winner.
Yep.
All right. Ding, ding. Oh. All right. What else we have here? I found a few fun facts myself. Marvel Comics founder Martin Goodman, who I believe is who hired Stan, was supposed to be on the Hindenburg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dodge that bullet.
Yeah just, I think the day of, they had to change his plans. That's fucking, what'd you say?
Dodge that bullet, or blimp.
Oh, wow. I mean, it happened so quick, that thing burning up. What, seconds? It wasn't even a minute, and it was gone.
No, yeah. I've watched videos, and it just...
It's all on YouTube.
As soon as it went up, it was done.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Jeez.
Well, it was that straight hydrogen, right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, don't mess with that with a...
Boom, boom, ba, boom.
No smoking, please.
Right. All right. So, what about you, Bernard? Anything else?
Man, as far as like Marvel's concerned, like, what do you think as far as, you know, comics being, especially with Marvel being able to transcend now, I guess, race and you know, bring a lot of people together, but at the same time too, like something that's controversial, like say Black Panther, right? You see, like how it brought a whole race of black people together. Mm-hmm. And then you see how on one side or the other side there might have been some antagonists who for whatever reason may feel a certain way as far as a particular joy and a representation. I especially when that happened, it was just very mind-boggling to me as far as like how I guess sensitive people are in regards to that, and just how, not only that, but how powerful comics is as well, as it's now, it's not just quote-unquote entertainment, but now this is becoming a culture thing as far as, you know, opinions and societal opinions or whatever. So, like, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I mean, it's what Stan always wanted to do. And mm-hmm. I think always was doing on was trying to do on a smaller scale. And yeah, I think what's happening, you know, within the past 10 years here, you know, seeing a much more uptick in that is exactly what Stan would have wanted, is exactly the original vision of Marvel, is to include everyone. You know, no one's excluded. Everyone's part of this Marvel universe. So it's awesome to see, you know, everyone get representation. And it's funny because Stan, even after, you know, he was still a Marvel spokesperson, but he hasn't actually been with Marvel for years. Like, he's had his, what was it, POW Studios or WOW or something like that he'd had for a while, where he was focusing on making a new hero from each part of the world.
Oh,
okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's, I don't think that ever saw completion. I don't think he was doing that up till his death. I feel like there was something with the people he was collaborating with that he kind of got screwed somehow.
Like part of that reality show he had where he was traveling around trying to find his superhumans.
Oh no, no. I think he was just brought on to, for a face for that kind of thing. But I mean, he was trying to, he just wanted to make sure everyone was being represented is what his goal was with this comic. I don't know, maybe not the main goal with the comic company, but it's what he wanted to do. It's what he was starting to do. So I love it. I mean, I think it's a great move, and it's staying. How many times have we seen a big company or something like that 3-4 generations down the line where, you know, someone's holding it that is such a far cry from the original person who founded it? And that person, if they were alive, would probably be like, what the hell have you done to my baby? Yeah. And I just don't feel that the case at all with Marvel.
Right.
I feel like those original minds would still be like, yeah, we're still going straight now.
Their core values are still in place.
Now, as far as,
well,
yes and no. I mean, as far as what we're talking about, yes. When it comes to the actual value of a comic book and what it should be in it for $4, yeah, that's another story.
There you go.
That's a whole nother episode, actually. But, but yeah, in regards to what you're saying, Bernard, I mean, what about you guys? I don't mean to speak for us all.
No, I agree. I mean, I think, just, you know, Stan, I mean, I think him and Kirby pushed for having the first African-American superheroes, which was Black Panther and Luke Cage, and then Luke Cage was the first African-American to have his own comic book series. I think that still holds true. I mean, you've got Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, now he blew up after they brought that new movie out.
Into the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're gonna see even more of him coming up. Yep. So yeah, it's infectious. Apparently, it's catching on.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, to touch on like what you said, Stan Lee would have wanted it, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Captain America like fighting Nazis or something like that? He had a couple of scripts written like that that I've seen out there, or some sort of like Nazi army or something like that.
Oh yeah, there was.
You mean as of late, or just in over?
Well, no, just as far as like back in those, like in his origin, sort of like the early pages and stuff.
Well, he was created as a pro war propaganda or whatever for the country. Yeah, and so that's what he was created to do, was fight Nazis and get American morale up. And then after the war, I think they tried to keep it going, but it discontinued and it stopped. And then years later, started again. I don't know if they were still timely at the time or if it was Marvel, but that's one thing about that character I love is, it's natural history. The character's natural history, you know, being that it started with World War II propaganda kind of stuff and then disappeared for years. They wrote all that stuff into that character's origin. Oh, he's been frozen all those years. Mm-hmm. That's why you didn't see.
And again, I forget about that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just, you know, saying that is what it is. I don't know. It's all written. It's all explained.
It's not like back when they first made him, that's exactly what happened, because that was the actual time when he was around.
So, and that's still his history to the day. Yep. World War II veteran, you know? Like, it's nuts. I love it. I love it.
Then he became a PBS TV show guy.
Oh, we're going down that road again, are we?
Called him Mr. Rogers.
It's funny that Bernard mentioned that, because one of the things I had written down here was in 2000, I guess is when the Ultimate Universe was born, and I've never been a huge fan of the Ultimate Universe as far as Marvel's concerned, And I had to cringe a little bit because one of my favorite people in the world is responsible for the Marvel Universe. Mark Millar. Had no idea. But anyway, it was he and Brian Hitch that decided to then, in the Marvel, Ultimate Universe, make Nick Black character. And it was when they did so, they said they specifically modeled him around Samuel L. Jackson.
What?
And that is eventually what led to him. I mean, come on, he would have been probably playing it anyway, but yeah. I'm sure it really helped him, you know, get that role as Samuel L. Jackson. So, man.
So he wasn't black until the 90s?
Yeah.
Right.
Because he played.
I had no idea.
Seriously?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Not past the 90s, 2000. Yeah, he was always a white guy with like eye patch, and he had, remember Hasselhoff's?
Yeah.
Right.
David Hasselhoff's Nick Fury?
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking Nick Cage for some. That's why I was like, what?
No.
But no, okay, yeah, Fury. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, that's why I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. Well, there's another thing to mention. Nick Cage, his real name is Nicholas Coppola. And he just goes Cage because he's such a Luke Cage fan. Marvel
Luke
Comics
Cage
fan.
Is the guy who I was sitting there thinking, I'm getting my names mixed up.
Yeah. I was wondering. Okay. Let me see. What else you got, Randy? Anything?
Do we want to talk comics now? Or?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot about that. Really quick. Let's go ahead.
Okay. So the one comic I want to talk about, I don't actually own it, was Amazing Spider-Man 96 through 98. Now, if you guys don't know a lot about that, that is the comic that was released without the authorization of the Comics Code Authority.
Ooh.
Okay.
So
very rebellious.
Yeah. So a little background is the U.S. government actually reached out to Stan to ask him to do a comic about drug addiction in a negative light.
We need your help, son.
Pretty much. But the way the Comic Code Authority was is you couldn't have anything about drug abuse, whether mm-hmm. it's positive or negative, in that comic. But Stan was like, look, I'm being patriotic, they asked me to do it, I'm gonna release it. And he released it, they denied it, or he went ahead and released it anyway, and it was like one of the top sellers
mm-hmm.
and got the message across. So
yeah. Yeah, pushing boundaries. So yeah. Get shit done.
That's it.
Is that all you had on the
yeah,
comic
yeah thing? That's all I had.
Okay, I actually have a comic. I just wanted to read a Marvel comic to talk about, kind of in the comic vault tradition here. But as you can see, it's just called The Incredible Hulk Deathmatch. And it's got the Hulk on the front with all the Avengers, West and East Coast, just laying into him. It's a, what, 1986 this dates back to.
Smell those old pages.
You really can. It starts with a Hulk decimating a town in Mexico somewhere. I can't remember where exactly. But you see this trio, maybe not even a trio. It looks like four people who are referred to as the Hulkbusters rather than Hulkbuster armor. There's four Hulkbusters who are just getting their ass kicked. They're like, here we are. You know, we're designed to stop this guy. It can't be done. And the whole time, you know, kind of like you see in the films, they're holding back a little bit because they're like, well, we don't want to hurt our friend Bruce. You know, we don't know what kind of state he's in. And we've talked to Rick Jones on the show before. Someone chastises for not knowing who Rick Jones is.
Yeah.
He's in this book.
All right. Full circle, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he was just kind of a quick appearance. I don't know why he was even in it. But anyway, it's just pretty much goes on for a while fighting. I mean, it's a long book with a lot of dialogue, but it's just all these Avengers fighting. And it then cuts to the Avengers mansion in New York, where you see the Fantastic Four just working on some scientist shit, you know. And in walks She-Hulk. Now, this must be during that same era where Thing, for some reason, was
MIA.
MIA. For, I don't know what he was doing, but yeah, She-Hulk filled that place. She asks where everybody is, other than the Fantastic Four. Where are the rest of the Avengers? She goes, oh, they were called out. Jarvis says they were called out to help stop the Hulk. And she's like, I'm She-Hulk. Why didn't they say something to me? And they like they felt it's their matter. They didn't want to. They want to keep you and the Fantastic Four here for anything else that might happen while they're occupied. She's like, oh, hell no. So she jumped in the Quinjet and she takes off to go see them. And through this fight, I guess just to kind of keep things entertaining, you start to see, you know, all these characters who appear to be leaders, you know, like Hawkeye is the leader of one group of Avengers. And I don't remember if you see Iron Man say something, but you start seeing insecurities about the them just questioning their own performance on the field, the integrity of their own job. And I just love that, because who doesn't do that? Even when you're doing your best at work, you're just like, man,
right.
Could have I done better? Yeah.
This isn't working.
Yeah. So that was kind of a cool aspect to see. But as the fight goes on, you cut over back to Bruce Banner on a gurney, and you think, what? Why is he on a gurney? Why is he in a hospital? What I find out, which is probably evident to somebody who's been in the series, but again, this is just like a one-off comic from the basement, is that they've successfully separated the Hulk from Banner.
Oh.
So, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, Banner's off in a hospital somewhere. The Hulk's on rampage, but now what they're finding is Banner's dying. So, like, okay, they've separated him. Looks like they need the Hulk back, though, to make sure he doesn't die. Anyway, the Avengers haven't put that together yet. they're still fighting, and then She-Hulk arrives in on the Quinjet, and she, very much in the Avengers movie fashion, says, "Back up, everyone. I think I can get this." And it's like, "Hey, big guy, sun's getting real low." No, she doesn't.
God, I was like, he's serious.
No, she doesn't say sun's getting real low, but it really uses that trope.
Does it really?
Yeah. She's like, stop. You know, let me see if I can reason with him. And she starts walking in close. "Hey, Bruce, it's me." I don't remember what her name is, other than She-Hulk. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. She comes in closer to the point where she's, you know, making progress. She has a smile. He starts to kind of look confused. She has a hand on his shoulder. And then just like in Ragnarok, she just, bam, just hits her square in the face, sends her flying back through the Quinjet. And she's laying there all like
dazed.
And she's like, "Yep, Banner's not in there. Let's kill it." And so it ends with the Avengers all lining up, deciding there is no more Banner in this beast. We have to kill it. And that's where it ends. And I imagine that's where the next conflict will be, is like the Avengers are like, "We have to kill it." While back at the hospital, they're like, "Don't kill him. We need him." You know? So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Or no, we won't. That was 1986. I'm not going to follow up.
Nope. Yeah.
It's a mystery for
good luck fighting the rest of them.
All right. Did anybody else have anything on Marvel before we moved on?
No.
Well, I just want to talk about like my favorite character in Marvel.
Sure.
Which is Iron Man. And I almost see Iron Man like the Batman of Marvel in a way. I don't know. You let me know what you guys think.
That's a, because yeah, of the tech. I would agree with that.
You know, I like the tech, and I like the suits, and I mean, man, I don't know. I've just always been fascinated. Plus, he's hilarious, and the sarcasm. He speaks fluent sarcasm, and that touches my soul. I like that. You know, so that's a good thing right there.
Very good, man. Anybody else want to? I didn't even think about favorite characters. A quick mention of favorite characters.
I would probably have to go. Well, I guess it would be the group of characters, the Guardians, probably the closest.
Okay.
Only mainly because when we did the podcast, that was really got us back into comics.
Mm-hmm.
And that and, well, the all-new X-Men, where they, Beast, opened up a time portal and brought the original five X-Men, Jean Grey, Cyclops, Angel, and Beast. So it was four.
Yeah.
Brought them from the past. Oh, wow. And they looked like they did back then. Like, Beast was just a big guy with big feet.
Right.
And Angel was just a dude with wings. But, the Guardians.
Coming back
to that, yeah. Just, and then the movies came in, and it was just, like, right off the page, pretty much. So,
the movies introduced me to the Guardians. I'd heard of them, but I know shit about them until the movies.
I only ever saw them in the Avengers cartoons, and they were totally different, because Star-Lord was more of a straight-up leader-type role, and then Adam Warlock was there, and then Groot was there, and then somebody else. It might have been Nebula, I think, maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, it was always different characters than what they did in the movies.
So I grew up in the 90s, and my big focus or whatever, my big passion was the X-Men cartoon,
mm-hmm.
and Archangel was my jam.
Wow.
So just
very good pick.
Yep.
Very good pick.
Cool as hell looking.
Yeah.
Hasn't gotten any justice in the movies, but...
No. They almost did.
Almost.
For a hot second.
Then they kind of shit the bed, didn't it? As far as heroes, low hanging fruit, Spider-Man has always been my jam.
Yeah,
it's always been where Look at the shelf behind me. But right. My favorite characters are typically villains. And as far as villains, Magneto, and I'm not only saying this because of the movie, Jack, you can back me up. I've been saying this for years. Mysterio is one of my favorites. I love Mysterio. And I'm so glad they got him right in the films. Yep. So, favorites. All right, cool. Very good. And with that, let's just turn our attention right over to you, Bernard, and talk more about AI Comics and Stormforce. Thanks again for being here.
But it was awesome. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe you can first set up AI Comics, exactly what it is, how it came to be.
Well, AI Comics pretty much came to be with me just wanting to have a form of, you know, making money independently outside of my job. I was thinking, hey, what can I possibly create and what could I do, you know, if I woke up every day and would actually enjoy it and make money from it. And I was like, hey, you know what? Why not just make my own comic book company and just, you know, create my own series and just release everything independently, et cetera. So it came out of the entrepreneurial spirit and the genuine love just for comics in general. It just made sense to me as far as being my first startup business, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we're trying to do with this podcast. Yeah. Get some extra money on the side and hopefully do it as a career. That's right, the dream, right, isn't it?
The object is just to keep doing what it is that, you know, that you're doing. And eventually everything will fall into place, you know, like, oh, y'all, and the right person is going to hit it. And the next thing you know, you wake up, you having all these like thousands and thousands of shares and views and stuff like that. Because all it takes is you don't want any old body, but you want the right people, the people that can connect and understand the brand and your message and connect with you guys. So it's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the journey, and it's a lot of ups and downs. But what keeps me going is that passion for it, because I grew up, like I said, loving comics.
It's cool to have a medium like that where you can get your, what am I saying? Get your
feelings across and kind of.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, have like a platform for your artistic visions, I guess, is what I'm saying. So that seems cool. Now, what about Stormforce? And Storm being S.T, what do they call that? Like a
acronym.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Storm, it stands for the Surveillance Tactical Operation Recon Military, and it's about an all-female superhero team that they're space voyages, and these individuals were formed in a lab, what they call synthetics, and essentially they were created to be able to go into different atmospheres instead of sending actual humans. And they were enhanced to be able to have special fighting abilities as well as sustainability. You know, they're pretty much made to last extra long, save actual humans from going into these dangerous terrains, and you know, do any mission that the government pretty much needs to be done.
It's awesome, man. I love the look of the book too. We saw the cover on the website there. It looks pretty stellar.
And I gotta say, I was pretty impressed. I was on your website and saw that each of your characters have like their own little bios.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like they're really fleshed out and really thought through.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. I appreciate you taking the time to even, you know, check that out.
And that's a great thing to do to get people interested. I mean, not that I'm. My recognizing it doesn't mean shit, but it's something I've noticed for sure. Is like when each character is fleshed out like that, you get a bio on each. It's just more incentive to, you have a knowledge of the character before you're starting the book. You're not trying to take in a story and learn about the characters necessarily at the same time.
You have a background kind of built in.
Yeah,
know about them, so you can just hit the ground running with whatever's happening. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Well, see, what I found, too, though, is, like, you know, for those who, because there's been people who've gotten the series, the comic series, and haven't even gotten to the website to be able to, I guess, read the bios and background behind, you know, the characters that I created. But, you know, the response that I've been getting overall from the stories that it just keeps you engaged in this nonstop action. And I purposely did that, you know, just to be able just to keep you just interested. And even, you know, up to the very, very end, man, it's just, I'm just very appreciative of just the response, you know, from, like I said, from everyone, from CBS, you know. I've been very fortunate enough to do an appearance on CBS 58 in Milwaukee, radio 88.9, and just other, you know, just other platforms. And it just is very humbling to see that, you know, when you have a thought and a vision and you just don't know where it'll lead you, but, you know, you, despite how nerve-wracking that may be, when you just take that first step of faith and just put it out there, you have to be fearless, especially with art, because people are the biggest critics when it comes to entertainment and art. So you have to be fearless. And so, you know, seeing how it all came from a thought, then me just staying up all night, like I literally wrote the entire storyline in one night. I stayed up to like 6 in the morning, wow. walked into work with the tired face, looking like Droopy D from Cartoon Network, you know, looking like extra. Sorry. But that's just how in the zone I was. And so it just shows, it translates, because people, it's just connected, you know. It wasn't just something that was haphazard. So, like, to hear that compliment about, like you said, it was well thought out, it really was, you know.
Good. Yeah, yeah. And it's apparent on the surface level that it was thought out. So it's, you know, you don't have to like dig in and before you realize it,
right?
If that makes sense.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Well, you've mentioned Storm Force being the first comic project available on AI Comics. Do you have any future plans or for future comics as of yet, or are you just staying focused on Storm Force?
No, actually, I already have a second comic written, and the next one that's going to be out is called Black Judah, Dawn of a New World. So that's already written. And the only reason why I haven't put that into motion as of yet is because I'm actually working on putting a cartoon into production right now. We just actually released a trailer for a crowdfunding campaign to be able to raise the funds so that we can get the cartoon created and animated. And that's my next, you know, big challenge. And I'm very excited for that. And so once I pretty much got, now that I got the crowdfunding campaign live on Indiegogo, I'm pretty much setting my vision onto getting that Black Judah comic out next. And
shoot us a link of that Indiegogo, and we'll help you promote that. I wasn't even aware.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, like, I just wanted to create a cartoon. Like, I've never done it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've never done a comic book before. But you know what? This was this fuel for the fire. And I was like, it'd be really, really cool to be able to add visuals. Have y'all seen the trailer yet or no?
Yeah, that was the one with, like, the gears opening.
So that, that's essentially with that. And the cool thing about the cartoon is that I'm now able to, incorporate other artistic aspects, you know, other things that I'm working on, like the soundtrack to that trailer was created by myself as well. So this, you know, creating this comic has now opened up another avenue for me to use my other abilities, you know, such as music. And then, you know, I also have the merchandise as well too, which a lot of people really like, and I'm pretty excited about that as well. So
yeah, I saw that glow in the dark hat. That was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I just want to just keep adding to the merch line. I got some new sweaters and everything that I've been working on. And I also have some new tank tops and stuff since, you know, the summer. I still got some time for the summer, but like, we have really cool beach slippers and some shorts up there and everything. So we try to stay trendy at the same time. And I like to make it look really, really fashionable as well. So like I said, this comic has been able, has opened up an avenue for me to incorporate a lot of other art that I like to do as well. So that's what I'm pretty, really, really excited about, this next project coming up with the cartoon.
Yeah, that sounds really freaking cool. And when you get that underway, let us know. We'll get you back on the show to talk about it. I'm excited to see it,
man. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and I'll make sure I get you that link and the tag you guys in the trailer that's already on the social media platforms, Instagram. Oh,
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and I would encourage people to go to AIComics.us and check out more. Is there anywhere else we should be directing people, Bernard?
You could also find find me on Twitter at AIComics fans, and on Instagram at AIComics. And it's the same AIComics on Facebook as well. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter, and you'll be able to stay updated with everything as, you know, we post.
Awesome. Yeah, get that sent my way, that link, and we'll get the rest done. We'll help get your name out there, man. And thanks so much for being here once again. I appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me, and I look forward to coming back and just having more dope conversations like this, man. This was a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, it was, and dope it will be. Jack, what have we on the website?
Go to candairpodcast.com, where you can check out show highlights, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, see some of the videos from our YouTube page, buy some merch, become a patron, enter the contest for the priority tickets to Wizard World that's coming to your town. And if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And you can find us once again on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. You can get some visuals as to what we're talking about sometimes on the show. I've been trying to be better about that, and I think I've been doing a decent job getting some visuals up there for what we're talking about. So head over there, check it out, give us some likes, have some laughs while you're there. And if you like what we're doing, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod for $5 a month. You get access to our Canned Air Patreon pod. We do it once a month, and you guys get full control of that show. So that's a lot of power for a few dollars.
Yeah, right? We just did a Jurassic Park episode.
That we did. Mm-hmm. And the month before that, we did a Spider-Man theme, yeah. Both at the request of patrons. So, you have power. You really do. And Squidbillies, August 11th at midnight. Set your DVRs. And do not miss it, because what a funny little show that is. And I'm super stoked to get on that vinyl that Adult Swim sent. Again, go to our Instagram or Facebook. There is a little video clip of this vinyl record being played. It's pretty cool. Anything else, gentlemen?
If you guys are interested in something else we're working on, check out What If.
Oh, yeah, we do have our other show. I forgot to mention that. Go to whatifpod.com, where you can check out past episodes or see... Listen to the most recent episode. But on that show, we take a twist on reality, whether it be what if people could fly, what if the Fountain Youth had been discovered,
Bigfoot was real.
Yep. There it is. All kinds of different things. One we're getting ready to record. What if the Thanos snap actually happened? That'll be our next episode. Probably releasing here in just... Well, by the time you're hearing this, it should already be out. Yeah. So... But, if that sounds interesting to you, head over to whatifpod.com, or if you just search Canned Air Productions in your podcast player of choice, this show and What If should both pop up. And I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Bernard Henry. I appreciate y'all once again. You have an awesome night.
We appreciate you too, man. Thanks so much for being here, and thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Wait, come back. The ice could break.
Whoops. Help.
Quickly, walk back to the edge.
Stop. You'll break through the ice.
Snow job!
Grab this branch. You should have been listening to Canned Air.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Snow job, how'd you get your name?
G.I. Joe.
Fuck, I always fuck this up. In the promo... Fuck! At checkout, in the promo box, put... God, I'm thinking too hard about it.
Whatever you're listening to, whether it be Apple Podcasts, whatever you're listening...
be more perfect like me.
Yeah, I know, right? Sorry, let's start that over.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.